Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations.
God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today.
Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, and thank you so much for tuning in to another Sunday Night Live. I'm so glad that you have joined us. You know, God is on the move, just as that song says, and God is on the move in us and through us. And actually, that's what we're going to be talking tonight about tonight with Dr. Sharp. And so please welcome Dr. Sharp tonight. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm so glad to have you back on the program. I just love to hear the wisdom that God has imparted into you and the things that you have learned through the Word. And so just whenever you're ready to get started, tell us what you have for us tonight.
Well, the thing that's been on my heart for quite a while is and we've started at our church, is making disciples. You know, in Matthew 28:20, it says that we're to make disciples and we're to teach them to observe all things that I've taught. Now, in America, that word observe means to watch something. And unfortunately, majority of the church goes to church on Sunday morning just to watch, and then they go home and everything's okay. They got their brownie points and don't have to worry about it for another week. But we're not supposed to be making converts. We're supposed to be making disciples. And the word disciple basically is a learner, one that is a follower. I looked it up one time. It says to be a learner as if attempting to be a scholar. That's our job as the body of Christ, is to become a scholar and be a doer of the Word of God.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, a large portion of church is getting a lot of feel-good sermons. And of course, don't get me wrong, we do need to hear about Jesus and what he's done and everything, but we're not hearing enough of us being doers of what Jesus did. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
this is, you know, the job of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And I think last time I was on radio with you, we discussed that we are to be doers of the word. Matter of fact, Jesus himself says, the things I do, you shall do, and greater. And I've discussed before, the word shall is the most powerful word in the English language, which means indubitably it will happen. So if it's not happening, it's because we're not joining in and doing our job.
You know, I'm glad you said that and brought it up, because, you know, as I opened up the program, I talked about God being on the move, but he's on the move in us and through us. And we have to make that choice of whether or not we are going to be a part of that or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... And there again, I've been to a lot of churches that has never even been brought up. It's almost like the pastor's there to entertain and to make you feel good about yourself, but that's not fulfilling their job. Their job is to equip saints for the work, to do the work, the same work that Jesus did, but not just the same, but greater. And, you know, we're supposed to be. I believe it's in Timothy. It says to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. There's a lot of Christians walking around deceived, not by the devil, but by their own self. And, you know, they seem to think that, you know, going to church every once in a while is satisfactory. We don't need to be going all the time. You know, we got to rest. You know, weekends for rest. You know, Sunday's a rest day, so we need to rest. So it's hard work getting up and getting everybody ready to go to church. And that is not what we're to be doing. And, you know, a lot of that's on the fathers. The father, I heard a guy saying one time that the dad is not the king of the house. The only royalty in the house is the woman. The man is the priest.
Oh.
The man is the priest of the household, and his primary job is to see to it that the children are being taught and raised up properly in the Word of God. And yet a lot of guys are out there on the golf course while mom takes the kids to church.
And that's what I was about to say, is a lot of times, and even I've seen where the father leaves it up to the mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the mom goes, and so the father just lets the mom take care of it.
Yeah, I saw a statistic the other day, and I don't have the exact numbers, but I do so see that I think it was like 96% of the families that are led to church by the father continue on in the church. The families that are led by the mother, only 17% of those families continue on in church.
Interesting.
And it's not, and this isn't against the mothers. They're doing somebody else's job.
Right.
It's the father's responsibility to get the kids in church. And not take them, go with them.
Right. And doesn't the Bible say that their salvation of their children falls on them?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
And that's a good paraphrase, yeah.
But like you said, a lot of times they let it for the mom to take care of.
Right, right. And, you know, and the moms that are trying to do that, you know, praise God for them. But
that's right.
The word says that she's not the priest. She's not the priest at all.
And why do you think it is?
I got on there, but I was typing over.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I know, but we're going to let God lead us. You know, this is for Him and His glory, and wherever Holy Spirit wants to lead us, we'll go. And so with that being said, why do you think that is what happens? Why do you think most men are doing that?
You know, it's difficult, but our kids are led not so much by our words, but by our actions. And I used to get irritated that, you know, at least they got the kids to church, but those that bring them to church, drop them off, and then go home, they're teaching their kids a lesson that when you get older and you become an adult, you don't need church. And a lot of the men that have kids right now were raised in a situation like that. Church is only for women and kids. It's not for men.
Well, and if you look at it too, a lot of times in some churches, you look at the leadership roles that are being filled can sometimes be predominantly women as well.
Yeah, a lot of churches, the majority of the congregation is female. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the females being there, they need to be there. But where are the men?
Right.
You know, men have this idea that I'm tough, I know what I'm doing, and I can handle it. I don't need a crutch like God. And, you know, even though they're seeing to it that their kids get there, their kids are waiting for the day when they can leave home and do like Daddy did.
Yeah.
Do my own thing. I'll go fishing, I'll go golfing, or I'll just lay in bed all Sunday And, you know, that is a terrible lesson they're teaching their kids. And it's growing.
You know, and I think about the man and thinking that it's only for weak men. Well, and that's not really what you said, but basically it's for mm-hmm. weak men. You know, if you're weak, then you need God, because men typically have that fixer, do things, take care of things on their own, and do
right.
what needs to be done. Yeah.
That's why men burn a lot of gas going where they think they're going without needing a map or instructions, and they spend a lot of money on gas looking for where they're supposed to be.
Oh, that is so funny. That is true. How many? I'm not going to stop for directions.
Yeah, I can get us there. Yeah. 20 gallons later and 10 hours later, yeah, you get us there. By accident.
That's right. That's right. And so with that being said, if we start in the home with our kids, discipling them, going back to being disciples, discipling
mm-hmm.
our children.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we're going to disciple you and show you that, you know, it is good to go to church. It's
mm-hmm.
good to not forsake the assembling and meeting together. It's a strength
yeah.
to you. It's a help to you. And that's
yeah.
where it starts, is knowing where their strength and source comes from through the church, you know, the corporate meeting type anointing.
And a lot of people not realize that, you know, and Paul made this statement. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And that phrase was not a good suggestion. That phrase was a command.
Yes.
It's in the form of a command. Of course, a lot of people say, well, you couldn't tell me what to do. Well, if you're a Christian and in the army of the Lord, Jesus is the supreme commander, and he can give you all the orders he wants to. Now, if you don't do those orders, that's called disobedience. And it leads to all kinds of problems. But, you know, we don't have this idea that I am a servant of the Most High God, and he is the captain of the Lord's host, and I am in the army of God. So if I get a command from the high command, then I best do it for my own good.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so many people take the Bible as optional. Well, it's optional if you want to flounder around and not do what God's wanted you to do. See, God has designed us to be totally, absolutely successful, victorious in every area of our life. But if we endeavor to do it on our own, we're going to fail. I have not met a man or a woman yet that hasn't failed in many areas in their life. God didn't want us to, but we do it.
And do you think that when people set out to do it their own way, and then they end up failing, that they somehow will try to relate that back to that God did that to them?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't realize that what they're doing can result in disaster. And you know, in the Old Testament, it says the curse causeless will not come. In good Texas, that means it's not going to come without a cause. And we go live our own way, and we get out of the will of the Lord, then we set ourselves up for attacks of the enemy. And, you know, the Bible says he's going around looking who he can devour. If he finds someone that's walking in disobedience to the word of God, boom, you're a target.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to obey the Lord for your own good. There's not one command in the Word of God that is not for your blessing. It may seem hard for you to do it, but if you obey, there is blessings with that.
Yes. You know, it makes me think about being a parent. And when we try to teach our kids things, you know, don't touch the stove because it's hot and it will burn you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cross the street without looking both ways, because you could get, you know, there's consequences for going across the street without paying attention. You could get hit by a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to become, we want you safe on the other side. Go
ahead. Well, it's built into kids to rebel. I was listening to something Andrew said, that he said, within the makeup of a person, if you tell them do not do something, they're going to attempt it. That's in the carnal nature. And he was talking about that. You tell them don't, and they're going to do it. And there was a preacher who was listening to him. He said, well, I just don't believe that. And he saw the kids out in the backyard playing. He said, well, I'm going to try something. He went out the back door, opened it, and says, hey, kiddo, see those flowers over there? And they hadn't even been paying attention to the flowers. He said, do not spit on any of those flowers. And he went back and went out the window, and half of them walked over and spit on the flowers. And the rest of them wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's just that carnal nature. You say don't, well, there must be a reason that you're trying to keep me from something that's good. And, you know, I'm gonna go do it in spite of you. And, you know, that's why the New Testament says that the old covenant gendered death. The old covenant wasn't to bring you to life. The old covenant was to show you how absolutely impossible it was to be perfect and that you needed a savior.
Yes, that's right.
It's our nature to rebel. The human fleshly nature is it's rebellion built into it. And you don't have to teach kids how to rebel. They learn it on their own. You know, you have to teach them to be right. Teach them to share your toys and things like that. It's just not part of their nature. You know, they think the moon and sun and stars all rise around them, and they ought to be able to do what they want to. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who grew up with that same attitude.
I was just thinking the same thing, that they never get taught that, if that's not right.
No, you know. But there again, that's part of the discipleship program that we should be teaching the people. You know, and unfortunately, a majority of the time has to be spent with the congregation just convincing them that God loves them and that God's doing everything for them. He's happy with them. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you, you know, totally and mad in love with you. But, you know, if people would grab hold of that, and you know, I taught a series of messages for my Bible study on who you are, what you have, and what you can do. And you'll never be able to do what you're supposed to do until you know who you are because of what Jesus did. And once you grab hold of that, I am a child of the Most High God. He loves me. He loves every square inch of me. He's madly in love with me, and everything he's promised in the Word was given for my good. And once you find that out, then you'll find out, well, gee, I've got equipment. I've got gifts. I've got power. I've got the ability to go do things. And then you can step out and start doing what he's called us to do. You know, we're supposed to be laying hands on the sick, winning the lost, setting the captives free, performing signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's just average Christianity.
Yes.
You know, most people think just going to church, you know, once a week is average. No, that's not even close to average. That's a big failure. You know, if you're not taking the word, and there again, it's I've said under some pastors before that never once tried to teach people what they could do. And it's almost like job security to convince them that they should be coming to him or her or whatever. But, you know, the preacher's idea is to preach himself out of a job, which he won't, because if the people are doing what they're supposed to, there'll always be new believers. And he's got to enforce the word of God and disciple those people into observing all things that are being taught. And you don't find too many churches that are teaching their people they can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. They're not teaching them to go out and lay hands on the sick. I used to tell my congregation, I said, if someone calls you, say, on Monday, and they say, oh, you know, really, I hadn't been feeling real good. And they said, well, I'll tell you what, next Sunday, if you'll come to church, my pastor will pray for you and you'll get healed. I said, that's stupid to allow them to be sick that whole week, wait till Sunday, when you could have prayed for them right then.
Yes.
And we put things off on the pastor that they're supposed to be doing.
But I think sometimes, that the reason, well, and I know this is what we're talking about, but the reason why these people are not praying for other people is they don't think that their prayers do any good.
Well, there again, I was raised in a church every Sunday. We were reminded what black-hearted sinners we were. Instead of children of the Most High God that God loved dearly and has provided everything necessary to make them a success. And we have that tendency to feel undeserving and unworthy. And undeserving is correct, but because of Jesus, we get to do it anyway. That's called grace. It's a gift. Has nothing to do with whether I'm worth it or not. In my own eyes, I'm not worth it, but apparently I was worth it to God because he paid the price to give me everything that would make me a success. He sent Jesus, and Jesus took my sin, my degradation, everything I had, my shame. He put that on the cross, nailed it to the cross, and in spite of what I feel like, that's not who I am. And we're not hearing that in a lot of churches. We're not hearing that surely you don't deserve it, but he considered you worth it, and he will give it to you as a gift. You don't have to earn it. And that's all rolled up in the word grace.
That's right. And any time you are making a decision, no matter what your decision is based on, and if it has anything to do with an emotion, then you need to rethink that decision. And don't base it on that emotion.
Oh, yeah.
But go to the word.
Yeah. Well, see, your emotions are tied up in your soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions are attached to the soul. And I used to get so irritated when I'd hear testimony service and some old boy get up and say, well, I thank God the day he saved my soul. He didn't save your soul. He saved your spirit. Your soul has to be trained. Your soul has to be, well, first, it has to be untrained in what you learned before and retrained in the truth of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotions are in an unsaved portion of your body. And, we're in the process of trying to bring what's in my spirit to the outer part of me. You know, one part of me is totally perfect. Two-thirds of me is still stinko.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't realize that.
You're right, and they look at that two-thirds that's not saved rather than the third that saves the whole person. Because they are going back on what I can do or what I can't do rather than what God did for us.
Well, I can do nothing outside of him. Unfortunately, I'm not outside of him. He's inside me.
That's right.
And it's not what I can do, it's what he can do through me. You know, I like what Kenneth Copeland said one time. He says, I can't heal the hind leg of a gnat, but I served God that made that little creature.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and Paul made the statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I visited my parents' church. This was many years ago, and went to one of my dad's Sunday school class. And their discussion of that Sunday morning was the pride of Paul. How dare he say he can do all things? Well, they didn't quote the whole scripture. They were thinking Paul was a man full of pride. No, he was a man full of Jesus and fully understood what Jesus was on the inside of him. Everything Paul, matter of fact, Paul made the statement that says, that everything, and this is a paraphrase, everything within me and everything I've done is by the grace of God. It's a free gift. You know, this was a man that was a church disruptor. He was a murderer. And, God used him to not only evangelize much of the known world at that time, God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we've got to understand that it's not me doing it. It's him doing it through me. But until I learn who I am and what I have within me, I'll never do squat. You know, there's nothing I can do. I can't save a person. I can't heal a person. I can't deliver a person. But the one that can dwells within me, and I carry him around.
Yeah, okay. So let's just say that we have somebody that might be listening that their church isn't teaching them who they are, what they can do. And so when they are facing those things that they have doubts in, what are some practical things that they can do on their own to go and to know what they can do in Christ?
Well, there are tremendous avenues that we have that we didn't have 50 years ago. You know, you can go to conferences. I've got CDs running out my ears. I'm sitting here right now looking at 4 CD series from Andrew Womack. I've got more than that, but they're right there on my TV stand. And I listen to those. Like I said, go to conferences. Get on Facebook. There's a lot of people that listen to Pastor Marlon on Sunday mornings that don't have a good church. The only way they're being taught is on Facebook. You know, so there are avenues. But in that same vein, I would start looking for a church that's going to teach me that. You know, I used to live down in Alton, Texas, and the closest church I could find that was teaching anything close to this was 25 miles away. On Sundays, it was a 100-mile round trip. Because I'd go to church Sunday morning, go home Sunday afternoon, then go back Sunday night and come home Sunday night. So I traveled 100 miles of Sunday just to sit under the type of preaching that's coming straight out of the Bible. A long time ago, I sat under a preacher who most of his sermons came out of the Reader's Digest. And
yes.
Fortunately, we prayed him out and got it, and the Lord sent us a new one.
And that is right there, is you have to watch what you're listening to and who you're listening to in regards to the Word, is to go to the Bible and look those areas up in that area of belief that you mm-hmm. have, and what does God say about it?
Yeah.
And go to the Bible, and you've got your concordance at the back, and find that word you're looking for, and go to the back there and look up that word, and go to the scripture that refers to that, and look up all those different scriptures.
Yeah, I advise all of my congregation to get a strong concordance and start with that. Matter of fact, I put in an order one time, and we bought cases of Strong's Concordance, because it will get every single word that's in the Bible in that concordance, and you can look up the meanings. Now, I graduated from that into a Thayer's, which if you've ever been in the Strong's, you look up a word, it may give you 10 different definitions of that one word. It can mean mm-hmm. all those different things, but does it mean that in this scripture? When you go to the Thayer's, of course, you have to have a Strong to get into the Thayer's unless you can read Greek. And it will put the exact meaning to the exact scripture so that there's no doubt what it means. You know, because, you know, when we started off, I talked about to observe all things that I've taught. The word observe does mean to look, but it also means to be very observant and guard what you're hearing. But it also can mean begin to do it as mm-hmm. under a command. You know, we're told to observe. You're ordered by command to do what you're hearing. And there again, that human nature is going to rebel, because who's going to tell me what to do? Well, God has the right.
Yeah, he does.
So, the
go ahead.
The word without some teaching or some instructions a lot of times is misunderstood. Because a lot of things that were in the Greek translated into English loses a lot of its meaning. Like I've always used this word, this scripture. It says to cleave unto your wife, and the only cleave I knew of was the cleaver that you used to chop up meat with. And I'm going, you know, am I supposed to take her up and sacrifice her, chop her up in little bits? No, cleave means to hotly pursue. You know, that's what you do when you're dating, but once you get married, you we'll just sit at home and watch TV. No, a married man should be hotly pursuing his wife at all times. That's an order from the word.
That is good. I didn't realize that's what cleave meant.
Yeah, and all you ladies can send me your nickels and dimes and quarters, and I'll get rich on that one.
I know, that's right. I'm going to be using it for sure.
But see,
you need a cleave.
Yeah, you need to hotly pursue, you know. And, you know, because when you're dating, man, that's all you can think about. Man, you're doing all kinds of things, opening her door and giving her flowers and buying her supper and taking her to the show, and you get married and TV on Saturday night's all we need. No, you know, pick you a date night or something, you know, spend some time with her, hotly pursue her like you did before you got married. Keep mm-hmm. that thing going. Keep it hot. Keep it the flames going. And every once in a while, you got to stir them back up. But I tell you, men, you need to get off your duff and become the man of the household and hotly pursue that woman.
That's
how
right.
We got off on that, I don't know.
I don't know either, but, you know, to go right along with that is, men, we want you to go to church with us. We want you to be the spiritual leader of our homes.
Absolutely. And, you know, the women have been forced to take on that job. And, you know, the best they can do was second best, because that's not their calling. It's not because they're not smart or anything like that. Doesn't have anything to do with that. They're not called to it. And when you're doing something you're not called to, there's not a lot of an anointing with that.
That's true.
That full anointing goes to the priest of the household, which is the man. Now, I know there's a lot of exceptions. There's a lot of single women parents, you know, and things of this nature. But if you're in a married situation, that man should step into the shoes that God made for him and begin to be the priest, seeing to it that their kids are saved, seeing to it that they're discipled and raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is their job, not their wife's job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love the women that have taken on that job because their husbands have shirked the responsibility, but they're operating under a disadvantage because it's not what is God's best.
Right. And
that
makes
all you got, go for it.
That's right. You got to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
But it makes me think about our houses, our homes, where if the father is leading the children in what they should do, going to church, and what do you always hear about people when they talk about their mama? Mama prayed for me. Mama
yeah.
always prayed for me. And
and there is an anointing on that. That is one of their callings.
Yes.
And but the spiritual head of the household is the guy that's supposed to be wearing pants. And if he's not doing it, he's in disobedience.
And that's what I'm saying. There's a difference in the roles as the father being the one that goes and does and teaches and is that example. The mother is it too, but also, and then the role as the mom, I see that mom, she's seeing those things and she's praying through, you know, her child's life as dad is teaching them, you know, how to live life.
Right.
In the Word.
Yeah, you know, we've got so many things backwards in our families, and then we wonder why things aren't working. And there again, you made mention to it, we blame God. You know, it's not his fault. He told us what to do. We're just not doing it.
But, you know, going back to discipleship as a believer in the Word, we obviously know that it starts at home with us as parents. And then it moves to our, you know, our kids learn that and they see it. And it begins to make a domino effect.
Right.
As you're stepping out and being who God has called you to be and do what God has called you to do.
Right. Like I said, I've seen so many people, friends of mine I grew up with, that, you know, they went to church with their mamas. And their dad didn't go, and now that they're adult, they're following dad's example, not mom's.
And, that's right.
You know, it's a shame. But, you know, the whole discipleship thing starts, like you said, in the home with the father. And the best thing he can teach them is be there. And have him show the importance of hearing the Word and doing the Word and being everything God's called you to be. And, you know, without that firm foundation in the home, it's hard to even pick it up in church.
So with that being said, okay, so maybe we have some families out there that the dads aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. So does that mean that the moms are feeling like that it's hopeless, that their kids aren't going to be discipled, they're not going to follow the ways of God because they're not getting that example from their father?
There's never anything hopeless with the Lord. But there again, it's going to work better when everybody takes their proper place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now there again, you know, the worst thing she can do is nag her husband. What she has to do is nag her God. Pray to him. And, you know, just because the more she pushes, the harder he's going to push against it.
That's right.
You know, you need to. I knew a family one time that she kept coming to us and, you know, my husband's just not taking his place. He's just not taking his place. And I've tried, and I ride him hard. And the harder she rode him, the harder he bucked. And we said, you know, you've got to start praying. Just put it in the hands of the Lord. And she did. She backed off, shut her mouth, started praying, and within a period of months, he was in church on fire for God like he had never been in his life and totally shocked her. And then the big thing is she didn't know how to let go and let him do what he's supposed to do. she wouldn't let go of the reins.
That happens sometimes.
So, but, you know, getting back to discipleship, you know, this is something that is not, like, and I've said this, I think, every show I've been on, it's not a good suggestion. It's a fact. This is what we have to do. And, you know, most people have no idea of their responsibility to be there. I saw something on Facebook the other day and says, for a pastor to be able to fulfill his calling of feeding the sheep, first of all, have to show up.
That is right.
And, you know, that's true.
Good.
And then COVID made it even worse. I heard some statistics that since COVID, only 30% of the church has come back nationwide. And, you know, it's gotten, and going back on this thing about Facebook, we made it easy for people to stay home.
That's what I was just sitting here thinking. The same thing is not only through the church, but in every area. Shopping, going to the doctor, just all those things, they've made it to where we can do it virtually.
Yeah, but it never was in the Word that you could do this long distance.
Mm-hmm.
See, another thing people have not seen, it's just alien to their thinking, is that church attendance is not just for you to learn something. It's for you to take your place in that building that God's making. He said, we're lively stones or living stones. We're making up the temple of God, and each one of us has a place to play. And if I'm not there, the church is weaker for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not taking my place. And the word says everybody has a position. Everybody has a place. And it makes a statement, you know, because I'm not an eye, I'm not the body, or if I'm not the hand, I'm not important, or something of this nature. And every person has their place. And you need to be taught. You need to know who you are. You need to know what you have because of Jesus. And you need to know what you can do because he's in you. And begin to do it. And we're trying to teach our congregation, if they're sick in the congregation, it's the believers that lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say the pastor will lay hands on the sick. Now, there's one place where it says call the elders and they'll anoint them with oil. But it says as far as the sick are concerned, it's the believers in the church that should be laying hands on the sick.
Mm-hmm.
So pastor's got to where he doesn't pray for them anymore. He said, if you have a physical problem and need healing, stand up. And then he said, okay, men, go lay hands on and pray for them.
Oh, yeah.
And the ladies, the same things. The ladies, there's one over there. And, you know, used to when that would happen, I would be one of the first or second ones there. And it's getting where now, if you don't get there soon enough, you don't get close enough to lay hands on them. There's a group around them. And I rejoiced in that. You know, this is church. Church is doing the word, not just hearing it, but doing the word.
Yes.
And and so many people think doing work at the church is mowing lawns and cleaning things and stuff like that. No, it's doing what Jesus did. And finding out that because of the free gift of salvation, I can do what he did. You know, he healed the sick, and he said, the works I do, you can do. He opened blind eyes. The works I do, you can do. He opened deaf ears. He caused the lame walk. He said, the works I do, you can do it also because I'm in there. I have empowered you with the Spirit. I have empowered you with the Word, and I've given you authority. Go and do what I did. And if you go and do it, you'll begin to see the results.
Yes, and so it makes me think about the church, and we are supposed to be doing in the church, but when I hear the word go and do, I'm thinking you go out into the world and do and be the church in the world.
Right. We've boxed in the power of God. We've boxed in the gifts of God for those that even believe in them. We think that it's in the four walls of the church, that healing is for there. But healing is the greatest evangelistic tool that God gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's I'm reminded of Daisy and T.L. Osborne. I don't know if I've shared this before, but when they first went out on the mission field, they spent a whole year in India and didn't get a convert. They came home totally defeated. And he just happened to go to a meeting, and this guy was laying hands on the sick. People were getting healed, and there was word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. The whole things were going on, and people were getting healed. And as a result of that, people were getting saved. And the Lord spoke to him and said, that's what you need. So he went down. They prayed for him. He received the baptism. They went back to India, and the rest is history. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people got saved because he first would start his meeting. He would send out the people who worked with him and said, go find five of the most notable sick people you can find. Find the cripples, the blind, the deaf. And they would bring five of them up there on the stage, and he would pray for them, and they'd be healed. Or lame, crooked legs would be straightened. And blind eyes open. Of course, all the people knew him because those people's jobs were beggars. And as they got healed, said there would be a literal stampede to the front of the meeting and then get saved by the thousands. He used healing. He used healing as the bell cow to draw people into the kingdom. And we've relegated it to the four walls or even the back room of the church, if we believe it at all.
Yes, and it goes back to its signs, wonders, and miracles, that when those things happen, they see that God is who he says he is, and God is real, and God loves me, and he wants good for me.
Amen. That's where it all relies. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are just as much for Main Street as they are the Church Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of the most notable healings I had were out of church. I had a lady when I lived in Cameron, when I was pastoring, she came, saw me in the grocery and said, "Oh, Brother Sharp, I've been so sick. Would you pray for me?" And of course, you know what she's about not speaking is when you get home and you go to your prayer closet, please remember me. Well, I have prayer closet and I carry it with me. Have prayer closet, we'll travel. So I laid hands on her right there in the vegetable section. God healed her right next to the bell peppers. You know, that's where church is its most effective, is out there. I had another lady got healed on the sidewalk in front of the grocery. And it seems like some of my greatest victories have been in grocery stores. I had a notable miracle in my office when I was practicing optometry in Cameron, Texas. And a young man came in and I introduced myself and sat down and started taking a case history. And my secretary came in and said, "I'm sorry, you've got a call from a doctor." So I went out and answered the phone, and I came back, apologized, continued going on with the exam. And she did it another time. So I went in and out three different times. And once we got through and I wrote him prescription, he left. And he was my last patient before lunch, so I went to eat. And I passed this little restaurant. I'd never been into it. It looked kind of run down and shambled, so I never went. But I just felt this impression, go into that restaurant and eat. So I walked in, and that young man that I was doing the exam on was sitting there eating. And he looked up and saw me, and he motioned me over. So I got my food and walked over. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, when I walked into your office, I was in severe back pain. He said, I have a degenerative back problem that the doctor said I would be in a wheelchair by the age of 25. And he said, I've just turned 25. He said, when you walked into the office the first time, the pain left. When you went out to answer the phone, it came back. You came back into the room, it left. When you left the room again, it came back. The next time you came in, the pain left, and it hasn't come back.
Oh, praise God.
A year later, I get a letter from him that he has entered seminary and God has called him to be a pastor. And he has no back pains at all. And I didn't even pray for the man. Same when Peter walked down the streets and people were healed. They thought it was a shadow, but that word shadow there means the outpouring, the outglowing. In other words, the anointing literally flowed out of him. And as they, by faith, reached out and grabbed that, they were healed. And this is where we're heading with this next move of God. We're going to start seeing things. And, you know, I've heard of, I can't even think of her name right now, but she would go to an airport, and as she walked down the hallways of the airport, people would get healed. And, you know, those are isolated events, but those things are going to be happening on a regular occasion with this new move that's on the way. It's actually already started.
And so I'm thinking about this, you know, especially, you know, you're talking about people going out into the world, and you were talking about things that happened at the grocery store, and now you're talking about things that's happened at the airport, and we're talking about places that everybody goes. And
right.
We have our believers out there that want to do that, but they lack that boldness, or they lack that understanding of how important that is.
Well,
what
the
would
lack
you,
the knowledge.
Yes.
You know, the word says lack of knowledge basically will kill you. And, you know, unfortunately, the church hasn't been teaching, first of all, that because you're saved, you now have the ability to go out and do what I've called you to. You don't deserve it, but that's what grace is about. It's unmerited. You get it in spite of you. So we've got to have the full knowledge, the full understanding of who I am, not because of who I was born, but who I was born again to. I am God's child. I'm in the family business. The family business is saving the lost, healing the sick, setting the captives free. And that's my job. Mm-hmm. I was reborn for that very thing. You know, if it was all about salvation, we might as well just go ahead and shoot you and get you back there as quick as you can. But that's not what it's about. It's not about getting me into heaven. It's about getting heaven into me.
That is right. That is good. It makes me, you know, we always say, oh, when we get to the sweet by and by.
Yeah, the thing is, the sweet by and by is in me.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible says that God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness.
That's right. But until you grab hold of that, you'll still be stumbling along and win here and lose here and one step forward and two steps back. And, you know, and until you understand what he's done and that it's a finished work. You know, on the cross, he said, it's finished. That's the word tetelestai. It's finished. It's done. It's accomplished. From that point on, it was a done deal. And it says he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. The word seated there basically means he's at rest. He's not performing anymore. He's already done it. Mm-hmm. You know, the scriptures say, you know, he went to the cross once. And that was enough to bring salvation to every person that has ever been born or ever will be born. It's finished. But it's the same thing. He went to the whipping post once. He's not going back to the whipping post every time you get sick. He's already done it. Healing is available.
That's right. So, Dr. Sharp, would you pray for our listeners that are really listening to everything that we're talking about, and they want that, and they want to be there, and they want to be the instrument for God. Would you pray for these people that are listening?
Okay. Well, Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I lift up everyone that is listening, everyone that has the desire to be everything they've been called to be. I'm asking, first of all, that you begin to pour revelation into them. The revelation of who they are, that they are a child of the Most High God. They're saved. They're blessed. They're in covenant with you. There's nothing coming against them that cannot be defeated. And then you have placed within them power and giftings and tools to go out and do the warfare. And Lord, I thank you that that revelation knowledge is going to start flowing into them. I have this because God wanted me to have it. Lord, help them to fully understand that they're not an old black-hearted worm going around as just an old sinner saved by grace. They were an old sinner, but as saved by grace, they are now a saint. Whether they feel like it or not, whether they act like it or not, God sees them as that. Help them, Lord, begin to see that they are not what they think they are. Help them to see in the Word of God who they really are, because the Word says it's a mirror. You look into it to see who you are. So stay in the Word. Lord, help them to stay in the Word. Reveal the Word to them. And Lord, I'm asking, there's many people that may be in churches that aren't teaching this. Begin to show them where to go. Begin to show them how they can augment their understanding and their learning. And if there is no good churches, Lord, establish one where they're at. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to start to begin to raise up a mighty army in this area of the state of Texas. You've shown me that the move of God would start on the west and east coast, and it would move inland, and the Texas is going to get a double portion of that mighty tsunami wave coming from both directions. It's just going to pound us from both sides. So, Lord, I thank you for this revelational move that is coming, this power move that is going to literally usher in billions with a B, billions of people into the kingdom. And Lord, we're going to have many, many ministers to be able to take care of this mighty influx of the people that are coming in. Mm-hmm. So Lord, begin to open their eyes that they're not just a member of the church, they're a minister in the church, and that they can take their rightful place as a minister of salvation, a minister of healing, a minister of deliverance. And Lord, help each and every one become a disciple and then turn around and be a discipler, one that will be able to raise up more people into the kingdom, the army of God. So Lord, there's going to be a mighty army in these last days, and this is just the beginnings of it. Lord, there's literally thousands of people coming into the kingdom every day, and it's going to pick up and accelerate as you begin to move in these different areas. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to move in this area mightily. We thank you. We thank you for the ministers that are going to rise up and take their full place and begin to disciple their churches and turn them in to ministering armies going forth doing the work of the mighty, mighty God of the universe. So, Lord, I thank you. You're going to bring full understanding for everyone that is hearing this, and help them, Lord, to open themselves up to the free gift that you have for them. Every promise in the Word is free and available, but they must take it and receive it as their own. So, Lord, I thank you for this radio station. I thank you for the message that's going out through this. I ask that you bless each and every one that's involved with it. And I thank you. You're going to use them. Father, I thank you. You're going to use them. I believe this is a word from the Lord. He's going to expand your borders. He's going to expand your influence. He's going to extend the power of your station. And there are going to be people that are going to be turning, looking for things, and suddenly turn to this message, this hour, and begin to understand who they are in the kingdom of the Most High God. So, Lord, I thank you for it, and I pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you love us and you sent Jesus to die for us, Lord, so that we could be your disciples, Father. I just thank you for, I am just so thankful for the goodness of God, Dr. Sharp. I get Amen. So excited that when I just really, and I know it's hard to even grasp really how much God loves us. We can try, but as much as I think I can grasp it, I just am so full of God's love, and I'm so thankful for that. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing with us and sharing that tonight.
Oh, it's my privilege. I love it. I told the Lord one time years ago, any door open, I'm stepping through it. If it's the wrong one, you better slam it before I get through.
Hey, that's what I say, Lord. Open up doors that no man can shut, but Lord, you shut those doors that you don't want me going through. Because I want to go where you want me to go. And so we just want to thank you again for coming on. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in tonight. I just want to remind you that we do have SundayNightLive.org is our website. You can go on there and check out all of our past shows that are archived on there. And I also want to remind you, if you really are missing some of Mark Meek's shows, you can go on there and Jim, our engineer, is putting those on for you. And just remember that go look in the mirror and tell yourself that God loves you and that he wants good things for you and to help you to go out and give that and share that with other people. And we just want to thank you for tuning in tonight, and we'll say a good night to you. We'll see you next week.
God is on the move, on the move.